Genesis chapter 32, beginning at verse 24, as we continue our series Under Pressure. I want to read this passage of scripture and explain what's going on here. But in Genesis chapter 32, verse 24, the Bible says, "Then Jacob was left alone." Get that in your head right now. It says, "Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When he saw that he could not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his thigh. So the socket of Jacob's thigh was dislocated while he wrestled with him. Then he said, 'Let me go, for dawn is breaking.' But he said, 'I will not let you go unless you bless me.' So he said to him, 'What's your name?' And he said, 'Jacob.' He said, 'Your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men, and you have prevailed.' Then Jacob asked him and said, 'Please tell me your name.' But he said, 'Why is it that you ask for my name?' And he blessed him there." And he blessed him right there. Show me your hands if you're saying, "I want to be blessed. I want to see God bless my life. I want to see God do wonderful things." If this is you, pay attention, because you have no idea what you're asking for. You have no clue, because listen, Jacob wanted to be blessed, but he did not realize the price he would pay to be blessed. So as we go to this series, Under Pressure, this title of this message this morning is The Pressure to be Blessed. The pressure to be blessed. Let me explain to you what's happening here, because Jacob, he was a twin, and Jacob was the evil twin. Every twin has an evil one. I'm not the evil one. Danny's the evil one, because I'm the pastor, obviously. So Danny's the evil one. I'm going to just make that point. Put it on your notes. Highlight it. Danny, evil, pastor, good, good. So there's an evil twin always. So Jacob was the evil twin. He was, the name Jacob literally means liar, deceiver, trickster. So you know his parents were not pleased with him when they named him Jacob. I know it's cute when you say to your son, "Oh, what a little devil you are." But they literally meant it when they said, "You are bad." They named him Jacob. It fit him so well, because Jacob was selfish. He was self-centered. He didn't care about just running over people to get what he wanted. So he wanted to be blessed. He wanted his brother's inheritance, who was the older brother, but that wasn't fair to him. So he said, "Listen, I'm going to trick my brother into selling me his birthright." Long story short, his brother Esau, he was the older, more handsome, rugged twin. Hello? And as I can relate to Esau. I know what that's like. So put that on your nose. Rugged twin pastor. Got it. So as Esau, as the rugged twin, he was there and he was out hunting one day. He comes back. Now Jacob pretends to be Esau. Now his name Esau literally means hairy goat. So I don't know what's wrong with, yes, I'm not making, I don't know what the deal was with his parents, but they named him hairy goat. So you have liar and you have hairy goat. That's a messed up family. How many have messed up families? You guys relate? Okay, you thought your names was bad? Hairy goat, people. Hairy goat. So anyway, he pretends. Now Jacob, the bad evil twin, aka Danny, he puts on this lamb coat. He had a coat of lamb. He puts it on to feel furry, and he was going to deceive his father, because he was blind, into taking the birthright. So anyway, that's how bad he wanted to be blessed. So I'm going to speed this up now. His father was deceived. He blesses Jacob, and Jacob runs for his life. Have you ever done something wrong and then you're out? You're quick. Jacob tricked his brother, got what he wanted, messed up his family, divided it, and he was gone. He left, he fled. Evil twin was out of the house, and he was living for years as a fugitive, because handsome Esau was after him. Family drama. Wow. Anyway, as Jacob was desperate to be blessed, His desperation led him to lie, to steal, to divide his family. And you know what I was realizing when I read this? The reason that Jacob did all of this was because he was tired of being Jacob. He was tired of his life. If, you know, I'm not going to ask you to show me your hands, but have you ever been just tired of your life? Maybe your identity, tired of your role, tired of what your life looks like and the routine. I mean, Jacob, I believe, was just tired of his life. He was just wanted a change. He wanted a change in his life. He wanted a change in his direction. He wanted a change in his future. So he would stop at nothing to change and to get what he wanted. Life can get so mundane that way that you get so tired of the role. You get tired. I'm just a mom. I'm just a dad. I'm just an employee. I'm just a brother. I'm just a sister. I'm nothing else. I need a change. I want a change in my life. My life is so dull. My life is so boring. Jacob wanted a change in his life so desperately, he was willing to lie, to cheat, to steal, divide his family, mess up his life, and that's exactly what he did. So by chapter 32, Jacob's life is a mess. Jacob is alone. The Bible says he's been left alone. He has no direction. He has no idea what God's going to do in his life. He's messed up everything, and I know there's a lot of Jacobs in the house today. You know that you look back in your life, and you think, my selfishness, my decisions, my greed has cost me so much. And now, Pastor, like Jacob, I'm lost. I have no direction. I don't know what God is doing in my life. I feel hopeless. I feel alone. And the mistakes of my past are haunting me right now. Jacob was living with a sense of guilt and shame over wanting to be blessed so much and hurting his family to get it. So while Jacob was alone, he falls asleep, just goes to bed. And the Bible says that he had a dream. And in this dream, he saw this stairway with angels ascending and descending. And he heard the voice of God tell him, Jacob, I'm going to bless you. I promise you. Is that not the most shocking thing ever? Here he is, evil twin. Alone, with regret, with shame, bad decisions. And then God shows up and God says, Jacob, I can bless you. In fact, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to change you. Sending over for you. This wasn't even the message I was supposed to preach today. But I felt like I had a Jacob in this church. That you think God is done with you. Your past haunts you. Your regrets, your failures. Your evilness, your selfishness. And I felt like God was looking down at you like Jacob. And he gave him a vision of angels ascending and descending because angels carry out the work of God. So God was telling Jacob, I'm still at work. And my spirit pressed on me to tell someone here, God is still at work in your life. God is still not finished with you. God has a plan for your life. God wants to bless you. God can bring the change that you are desperately seeking. God can bless you like no one can. But here's the problem. Jacob did it all wrong. Can I preach this morning? Jacob did it all wrong. Jacob wanted to change. Jacob wanted to be blessed. But he tried to do it on his own. He manipulated his way, he lied his way, he cheated his way to blessing. And it messed everything up. And I know you want to be blessed. And I know you want to change. And I know you want to see God do amazing things in your life. But if you get a blessing away from God, if you try to do it on your own without Him, you're going to find yourself in a mess. You're going to find yourself in destruction. Like Jacob, he wanted the right thing, but he went about getting it the wrong way. Who am I preaching to this morning? You're saying, Pastor, I want to be blessed. But Jacob turned a blessing into a curse. You see, God has a plan for your life. I believe God has a dream for you. But you have to let Him do it. You have to let God do it. Blessings are great, but blessings are from God. Don't get so obsessed with a blessing that you actually forget God. Don't get so obsessed with a blessing that you actually push God out of the way to get it. God can do what you cannot do by yourself. That's what He was telling Jacob. You tried to get blessed because you wanted to get blessed. How did it turn out for you, Jacob? Jacob, will you let me now step into your life and change what you could not and do what you couldn't and let me work in the area of your life that you have failed in? See, God says something interesting. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26, God says, I set before you a blessing and a curse. I'm setting before you today a blessing or a curse. The blessing, if you listen to my commands, the commands of the Lord, which I'm commanding you today. God says, and He gives us this ultimatum, He says, okay, here it is. Here's the deal. I'm setting before you two options. Blessing and curse. Choose. How many of you choose blessing? You're not crazy, right? No one in their right mind would say, I don't know. Blessing, curse. No! You clearly said, okay, that's an easy choice. That's an obvious choice. I want to be blessed. I want my family to be blessed. I want my life to be blessed. I want blessings for my future. I want everything I touch to be blessed. I want God to bless my life. That's what I choose. I choose that option, God. I want to be blessed. No one in their right mind chooses to be cursed. But let me tell you what God says here. If you choose blessing, obey me. Because any time you live in disobedience to God, you are choosing to be cursed. Any time you're choosing to be rebellious towards the Word of God, you are choosing to be cursed. So you might think no one in their right mind would ever choose to be cursed. You are making that choice every day of your life that you choose to disobey God. This is why Jacob's life was so messed up, because he wanted the right thing, but he went about it the wrong way. He wanted to get blessed, but he did it by disobeying the word of God, thou shalt not lie. Hello. He did it by disobeying, by lying, by cheating, by stealing. He knew that God could not bless that. God cannot bless immorality. God cannot bless sin. So Jacob had to learn the hard way. That God wanted to bless him. God wanted to bring the change that he wanted for his life. But Jacob had to let God do it. You're saying, well, Pastor, I don't want to be cursed. But disobedience does that. That's why when Adam and Eve sinned, God says, cursed is the ground you walk on. And from it now you will produce pain. Pain and struggle. Pain and struggle is a result of disobedience. Why did God curse the ground and not Adam, though? It's interesting. Because when you curse someone, you did not curse them directly in the Bible. In that culture, in the Jewish culture, even today, you don't curse a person directly, you curse their children. And in doing so, when that child's life is messed up, it's a direct reflection of the father. God could not curse Adam because then God would be saying to himself, I messed up. Isn't that cool? So he said, blessing and curse. You see, God has blessings for your life. But it's so amazing to me how a blessing from God can be so messed up when handled incorrectly. Let me tell you some examples of something that's blessings that are directly from God, that the Bible says this is from me. Did you know that God says that marriage is a blessing? Did you know God created marriage not as a curse? Before the fall of man, marriage was there. It was not a curse. Marriage is a blessing. Marriage is a blessing when done God's way. When done in disobedience, marriage is a curse. It will cause you a lot of pain. It will cause you a lot of struggle. It will cost you a lot of peace, a lot of joy, a lot of sanity, maybe even a lot of money. Believe me, you don't know. But when you choose to be disobedient to God in marriage, the very blessing of marriage turns into a curse. Did you know that sex is a... Oh, you woke up. Okay. So sex... Sex is a blessing from God. God told Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply. Sex was designed by God. But when you take a blessing of God, like sex, outside of the context of His standard, outside of marriage, it messes you up. It may seem like just sex for you. It may just seem, oh, we're just having fun. No, God designed sex for husband and wife, and that's it. But when you take that blessing outside of that, it becomes a curse. Children are a blessing from God. You say, you don't know my kids. Well, children are a blessing from God. Now, when you get that blessing of a child and raise him in disobedience to God's word, that child becomes a curse. Now, the word curse just means pain and struggle. So you say, man, my child is such a pain. Well, how have you handled that? God has blessed us financially. God is a provider. But when you take that blessing of finances and you misuse it in disobedience to God, the very blessing that could have benefited your life now grits you great pain and struggle. You guys getting this today? You see, my point is this. You can take a very good thing from God and it can turn out very bad in your life when you refuse to take that which is from God outside of His plan in disobedience. If you want to be blessed and if you want God to just work this out in your life, take the blessings that He gives you but operate it His way by His standards. You see, like Jacob, I believe God has a plan for your life and He has a promise for your life. But before He can bless you, because all of you raised your hand and you say, Pastor, I want God to bless me. I want God to bless my life. I want God to bless my family. I want God to do wonderful things in my life. You know what Jacob, what he failed to think about was what he was asking for. He did not realize would cost him a lot of pain. You might pray, God bless me. God give me this. I want to be blessed. I want to be married. I want to have children. I want to be financially secure. I want this. Be careful what you pray for. Because God wants to bless you. God wants to prosper you. God has a plan for your life. But understand something about the blessings of God. He doesn't just give it to you. He prepares you for them. He prepares you for the blessings that He has for you. So like Jacob, you might be saying, well, Pastor, I want to be blessed. But before God can bless you, He has to change you. God wanted to bless Jacob, But he couldn't bless Jacob as long as he stayed Jacob. As long as he continued to lie, continued to steal, to be a deceiver, as long as he continued to be selfish, God could do nothing in his life. So you're saying, God, I want you to bless me. But when was the last time you asked God to prepare you for the blessing that you're asking for? Is there any room for change in the life that you have right now? See, what does God change about you? It's simple. Your character. Your character. Why? Your character is who you really are. Your character is how you really think. And let me tell you that the right blessing will be destroyed by the wrong character. And if you have a bad character, you will destroy a great blessing. This is why there's destruction in marriage today. This is why sex is destroyed now in our culture. This is why children are being raised the wrong way and we're in financial crisis today in our country, because we have taken a great thing from God, but we have used it with our bad character. And God says, I want to bless you, but before I can bless you, you need to have the right character. The right character will bless your life. The right character will bless your family. And I know what you're thinking. Well, I know a lot of people that need to change. I know a lot of people that need to hear this. I'm going to buy this CD. I'm going to give it to them. Why not stop for a second and examine yourself? And ask yourself, have I completely destroyed the blessings of God? God has blessed you with a family, but you're destroying it with your bad character. God has blessed you with a wife. Listen, buddy, listen. The Bible says a wife is a blessing to the man, not the other way around. So if you have a wife today, that is favor from God. All my single people say amen. Like with tears. God says, that is a blessing. So you can destroy a blessing of a marriage by your bad character. You can destroy the blessings of God with your character. Does that not scare anyone? This is why God changes character. Because the right blessing will be destroyed by the wrong character, and God can only take you as far as your character allows. Let me prove this to you in Matthew 7:6. Jesus said it best. He said, do not cast your pearls into swines. Do not cast pearls into pigs. Do not give what is holy to dogs and throw it away. Now you read that thing, what does that even mean? Listen. A pearl was a treasure. A pearl was rare. A pearl was valuable. A pearl was a gift often given. But when you put it and cast it into a pig, it was trampled. It was messed up and destroyed. And I read that verse this week and it taught me about how God uses blessing. The pearl, like blessings, are beautiful. Blessings are a gift from God. Blessings are rare. Not everyone gets blessed. But when God gives you blessing, but you treat it worthlessly with your character, it's like casting it to a bunch of pigs. And the pearl gets destroyed and trampled on, because that is the pig's nature. It is filthy. It walks on everything and it destroys. So I wonder, how many pigs do I have in this church that God has blessed you with great gifts and great, just everything, but you have a pig nature? The problem wasn't the pearl, the problem was the pig. The problem is not your family, the problem is that you're a pig. Pigs in the Bible were considered unholy, filthy, The pig just trampled on the pearl. God has a pearl for your life. But he can't give it to you because you live like a pig. Unholy, dirty, and selfish. Turn to your neighbor right now and say, am I piggish? Have I been a pig to you, honey, if you're married? Am I trampled on you, my little pearl? Have I trampled on you? Let me give you some advice this morning. You guys enjoying this message? It's a tough one, but I love you. You want some advice? All right. Don't ask God for a pearl if you're going to continue to be a pig. Don't ask God to bless you if you're not going to change. Don't ask God to give you if you're going to keep the same bad character. Do not ask God for a pearl if you're going to continue to be a pig. Many people want to be blessed. They don't want to change. So when God gives you the blessing because you're a pig, you just trampled and destroyed it. That's why there are so many people in the church today that have trampled on the blessings of God because they're unwilling to change their character. So Jacob was a pig, dirty with sin, selfishness, unholy. He got the blessing, just trampled on it. Messed up his family. Messed up his future. He did so much wrong because he was a pig. So, as I read this passage, I felt bad for Jacob. Because Jacob wanted to change. Jacob wanted a different life. Jacob wanted to be blessed, but he didn't realize that God had the pearl for him. God had the blessing for him. God had it right there in his hand. And he said, I can't give it to you, Jacob, because you're still a pig. You still have to change. What if God is holding the blessing that you want? What if God's saying, I have your husband. He's right here. But I can't give it to you because you're a pig. I have your wife. I have your job. I have your promotion. I have your children. I have the life you want. But if I give it to you now, you're going to trample and mess it up because you're a pig. But God, oink, I want it now. Oink, no. And God says no. Because you'll mess it up. But when you're ready, I'll give you your pearl, but I want my pearl now. Oink. And God says no. Because if I love you so much that if I give it to you now, being the way you are, you're going to mess it up. So do you want it now? Or do you want it right? No, I want it right now. No. Because in Jesus' name, and with all the love, you're a pig. I'm a pig. This is pig fellowship today. This is First Baptist Church of the Pigs. I don't know. But can we get real that sometimes in life, in our week, or when we're not being watched, or when we're driving, you're a little piggish? Can you be a little pig at work? A little pig on the palmetto when you're driving to work? Have you been a little pig to your spouse? Do I have pigs in the house today? Or am I crazy here? I feel crazy. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Nudge your neighbor and say, pig. Pig. Because you're all on the same side. You're all on the same, I'm telling you. God says, I have a pearl. Jacob, I have your blessing. But Jacob, bro, you're a pig. You lie. He says, Jacob, I'll give it to you when I change your name. Why name? Because your name symbolizes your character. So God says, I can't give you the blessing even though I have it, because I need to change your character. So I was thinking, I said, okay, God, I can see the pig in me. I can see the pig in Jacob. And I understand why you're not just going to give us the pearl, because we'll mess it up with our pig ways. So how does God change character? Do you pray for it? Do you just pray, Lord, change me? Change my character? Are you just going to go to bed a pig and wake up a stallion? I don't know. Doesn't work that way. I wish. I prayed a lot. God, how do you change character? Keep reading, David. Okay, and I kept reading. And I found it. I did all the research to help you out. Amen. Make it easy. Do you want it today? Amen. All right. You're not going to like it. Don't be clapping now. But we're going to change our pig ways. Three things. One, quickly, one. Verse 24, look at how he began to change Jacob. Evil twin pig, Jacob. Then Jacob was what? Left alone. And a man wrestled with him. Let me tell you what grabbed me here. The first thing God does when he changes character is he often begins to remove people from your life. Jacob was left. Not that Jacob left. Jacob was left. Meaning they departed from him. People will depart from you. And sometimes God allows it. Jacob was left alone. Oftentimes the people you love and you trust and confide in will leave you. And God allows it. Why? I don't understand this, but the Bible says, Jacob, they can't stay with you. Your family can't stay with you. Your friends can't stay with you. I need to get them all away so I can get ready to work on you. Which is funny because last week, you know, Eddie, he's back there doing our media, but a few weeks ago, he was having surgery. And when I went to visit him, when it was time for the surgery, because he's had, I don't know how many surgeries I've gone to already, he's always getting hurt. But it's interesting that as the doctor was getting ready to operate, everyone has to stay outside in the lobby. But I'm his pastor. Doctor's like, I don't care. But that his mom, his dad, his sister, everyone, what about them? I don't care. See, when the surgeon is getting ready to do work, he puts people outside in the waiting room. Don't you understand that when God is getting ready to work in your life, people stop dropping like flies everywhere. Where does so-and-so go? Where? What happened? What do you mean you're leaving? What do you mean we're breaking up? What do you mean? What? We're not followers on Facebook anymore? What happened? You look around, and being blessed becomes a lonely place. In fact, the more alone you are, the better God's getting ready to bless you. You have to learn how to be alone. Jacob was left alone, but I loved them. But it's hard. No one cares. No one's around. No one was there for me. Sometimes that's true. No one was there. But God. 1 Corinthians 15:33, God says, bad company corrupts good morals. That word moral means character. Bad company corrupts character. Could it be that maybe God allowed them to leave? God removed them from your life because they were going to corrupt you? And don't be deceived by thinking, no, I could have changed them. I could have helped him. No, they would have brought you down. And God in his love said, they need to get away from you. That's why he allowed them to leave. That's why the relationship never worked out. Because God knew that people have a powerful influence on character. And if you're surrounded by bad people, it will corrupt your character, not the other way around. I'm sorry, get over it, pig. Move on. Move on. Let him go. Shout to your neighbor. Let him go. Jacob was left. He was left alone. lonely. I'm so lonely. Not knowing that God wanted him all to himself. No distractions, no people, no drama. There comes a point, let me tell you, that you start off lonely and it's miserable. But the longer you stay alone, the more you realize how much happier you are without people. Because people are bad. People have drama. People are crazy. People are pigs. And sometimes God says, I'm doing you a favor by letting that person go. Jacob was left. Could you be left alone and trust God? Can I move on? You're like, please, Pastor, please, you're killing me. In Jesus' name, let him go and trust God. Isn't it true that the real you comes out when no one's watching? The real you is when you're alone. Do you see why God wants you alone? Because that's when you get real with him. Some of you are completely different because I'm watching. Here she is. Some of you, some of you, oh, we're in church. We gotta be good now. You killed each other at home. You were fighting in the car, but now you're in church. Gotta grab my Bible. People gotta think we're spiritual, honey. Come on. Come on, let's go to church. Get in the car, kids. We're going to church. And if you tell the pastor anything. Hey, pastor, how are you? That's glory. That's why God needs to put you alone. He said, do you see yourself when you're alone? Number two. So God gets you to a place of loneliness to build character. Two, when he was alone, verse 28, the Bible says, a man jumped out, yes, and began to wrestle with him. So it's crazy because we read this, we don't really think about this, but imagine you're by yourself, you're alone, and some guy pops out and says, let's wrestle, come on! And just grabs him. He's like, what are you doing? Get off me! Who are you? He said, don't ask me who I am. Who are you? What's your name, boy? Come here. And you're the wrestling two grown men. I don't know why Jesus is a hillbilly now, but just go with it. But these are two grown men wrestling. And he's like, what are you doing? And it was so painful, but why wrestling? Why didn't they just, you know, fight? No, it wasn't fighting. It was wrestling. Why? Because wrestling requires submission by pressure. Oh. So sometimes God puts you in a place of pressure to get you into a place of submission. Ooh, that's good preaching. That's good preaching. Because God said, listen, Jacob. It came out of nowhere. I grabbed you. I put the pressure on, the pain. Have you ever wrestled with somebody? You get tired. You get frustrated. Maybe you're wrestling today. Problems. You're wrestling in your marriage. You're wrestling with your kids. You're wrestling at work. You're wrestling with your health. You're wrestling with your finances. It just feels like God won't let you go. You're thinking, God, why all the pressure? Why all the pain? I don't understand what you're doing. It just came out of nowhere. And I'm just trying to catch a break. But maybe God is allowing the pressure that you're under right now to get you to a place of submission so you can trust Him and lean on Him. See, understand one thing. You might be thinking, why all the pressure, God? I don't understand. But it was in the midst of the wrestling match. As they were wrestling, Jesus says, here, what's your name? What's your name? Tell me who you are. He knew his name, but he wanted to hear it from him. What's your name? Because the real you comes out not only when you're alone, the real you comes out when you're under pressure. The real you is not during worship. When things are nice. When the music, Frankie was awesome today. It's not during that time that you're real. It's not when everything is good and you're not fighting and the bills are paid and the kids are behaving. It's not, that's not you. The real you is when the stress is on. The real you is Walmart before school shopping. I don't know what hell is like, but if I have an idea, it's Walmart right before school starts. And all my parents said, amen. That's the real you. Under pressure. And Jacob confessed and said, I'm Jacob. For the first time ever, for the first time in his life, he needs to own up to who he really is. He needs to own up to who his identity is. And he says, I'm Jacob. When he said, I'm Jacob, he was saying, God, I'm a liar. I'm a deceiver. I'm selfish. When he said, God, I'm Jacob, he said, God, I'm a pig. I've destroyed my life being trying to get what I want. Being selfish. I'm destroying my family. I divided my family. I hurt my father and my parents. I destroyed my past. Everything is just a mess right now because I'm Jacob. I'm a liar. I'm a deceiver. What if God is putting all this pressure in your life because he's trying to get the real you to come out and he's just waiting for you to confess who you really are. Not who you are in church. Not who you are in front of your children. He wants to know who you really are. He wants to hear you say, God, I'm an adulterer. God, I struggle with lust. God, I'm an addict. God, I'm a liar. I'm a cheat. I'm a steal. God, I'm a dirtbag. I'm a pig. God, this is who I am. Because God cannot change what you refuse to acknowledge. God cannot change what you hide. God cannot change what you refuse to confess. So he's under pressure. And then he says, I'm Jacob. I'm Jacob. There's nothing more liberating than telling God, no matter how bad, who you really are. The pressure comes when you pretend to be someone you're not. And he tells God, I'm Jacob. Because God cannot change what you refuse to acknowledge. So your choice is, I'm going to continue to pretend to be someone else. He could have continued to pretend to be Esau. But he said, no, I'm done playing games. I'm done pretending. God, this is who I am. This is who I really am. This is what I struggle with. This is what has me in bondage. God, I'm a liar. God, I'm selfish. God, I've hurt people. God, I've trampled on your pearls. I'm not a good person. God, I am fill in the blank. And I love it because as they're wrestling, he tells him his name. God says, that he touched him. Why? Important that you get this. I feel like this fire is about to come out of me right now for someone here. God said, he tested him. He said, let me go. You know that if Jacob would have let him go, the pressure would have been lifted, the pain would have stopped, but the blessing would never have arrived. God will test you. Under pressure. And those that get blessed are those that never let go of God, no matter how bad the pressure is. Don't you let go of God. Don't you give up I love it because as they're wrestling and as they're fighting and Jacob is tired, God's not tired, he doesn't get tired, but Jacob's tired, and when it's all said and done, there's Jacob and he's still holding on. And God says, let me go. And he says, no, I can't until you bless me. God cannot bless cowards that let go because it gets too hard. God can't bless someone that says the pressure's too much, so I quit. God can't bless the life of a father that says I can't raise a child because it's just too hard. God cannot bless the life of a person that just lets go when the pressure is on. God can bless those that refuse to let go and those that acknowledge who they really are. So when he's holding on, God said, daybreak is coming. You better let me go. You know what God told Jacob? What he's telling you today. Time's running out. The Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, tell someone in your church, time is running out. And one day is going to be too late for you to get blessed. Too late for you to change things. So I don't know who I'm speaking to this morning, but time's running out. You better stop playing games with God. And then God does something crazy. He touches him. He touches him on his hip. You ever dislocate a hip before? Worst pain in the world. You will fall to the ground. Why did God touch his hip, his socket, put it out of place? You thought the pressure was bad, the wrestling was bad. The pain came even worse because when the pain increases, the blessing's just there in the corner. Just when you think you can't take it anymore, something worse happens. But right when that happens, something amazing happens. You come out of it and you get blessed. And it was here that God touched the side of his socket, dislocated his hip. Jacob went down for the count. Why? Because he was teaching him something. When you have a dislocated hip, you cannot get up on your own. Can't. Someone needs to lift you. And you need to lean on them. The reason God did not dislocate his pinky, his toe, but his hip, was because God was telling Jacob, if you want to be blessed, and you want to change your character, you need to depend on me now and lean on me. And Jacob, I imagine that God just picked him up and he leaned on him. And when the socket got into place, the Bible says he walked with a limp for the rest of his life. Why? Because when God truly touches you, your walk changes forever. Your walk changes forever. So Jacob was walking with this limp. And then God said, your name is no longer Jacob. When you read it in the Hebrew, God literally said, you are no more Jacob. No more. Meaning, no more liar. No more deceiver. No more pig. No more. You're a new person. You are now Israel. God changed his name. He changed his character. He changed his walk. But he had to go through loneliness. He had to go through pressure. And he had to go through pain to get into a place of submission and to the authority of God that brought him to the change of character that then God said, now I can bless you. Now, you're ready for the pearl. Because you're not a pig anymore. Because God wants to bless you. God has a dream for you. And God's not done with you. For all my pigs here, let me tell you, God is not finished with you. It's not too late for you. I love it because the Bible says, and Jacob struggled with God. We don't associate struggle with God because we think God is behind all happiness and peace. But God was behind the struggle. Some of the struggles in your life are actually brought by God to change your character. He struggled with God. And the Bible says he overcame. He prevailed. How does someone wrestle God and prevail and win? You can't do that. So I started praying and thinking, because all week long I said, God, how did he win the match? How did he win? I don't understand. How does he wrestle with you and overcome and win and not die? And it's simple. I woke up Friday morning with the answer in my head, so I know it was God. He overcame because God let him. I remember wrestling with my father. He would let me win. He could crush me. Your father, listen, and I want to tell someone here today, the reason you've overcome up to this point, because let me tell you, some pigs here, some of you should be dead right now. Think about who you were before. Some of you, I don't know how I'm still alive. I was the pig of all pigs. But the reason you overcame the drunk driving, the reason you overcame the overdose, the reason you overcame the wild living, the reason you overcame all of the sin was because God let you overcome, because he did not see you as Jacob. He was seeing you as Israel. God was seeing you for who you would become, not for who you were that at that moment. So you better give God praise and glory and honor that he did not kill you when you deserved it, but kept you alive because he knew someday you would be at Pig Fellowship Church, just there preaching and learning and growing. And I saw you for who you would become, not for who you were. Jacob overcame because God did not see Jacob. God saw Israel. God sees who you're going to be. That's why he's allowed you to overcome so much. Because he has a plan for your life. Do you receive this word this morning? Do you declare it and say, God, with every head bowed, every eye closed, as we dismiss this morning, pray to God right now. Pray to God and listen. We're all pigs. And God has a pearl waiting for you. And in his love, the pearl cannot be given because you'll mess it up. But when your character changes, the pearls will come. That's my message for you this morning. Jacob had to own up to his own life and his responsibilities, and he had to tell God, I'm Jacob. So as a wife, as a husband, as a father, as a teenager, right now, why don't you tell God who you really are? What you really struggle with? What no one would ever know about? The things that you regret and are ashamed of? Because God cannot change what you don't acknowledge. And today, God wants to get you into a place of submission. And he allows pain, he allows pressure, because he's trying to dislocate things in your life to get you to lean on him and depend on him. So maybe for the first time today, you need to say, Jesus, I need you. Because I'm a pig. Maybe for the first time in a long time, you need to get back with the Lord. And say, God, I need you. Because I've taken your blessings and I've trampled on them with my character, with my selfishness. And if God needs to take people away from you, let Him do it. If God needs to allow struggle and pressure to get you into a place of submission, let Him do it. If God allows pain in your life that debilitates you and just leaves you down, let Him do it, because He's trying to get you back up to a place where He's all you're leaning on. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I thank You for this divine word given to You, Father, directly from Your mouth, Father. I pray, God, for every soul here in this church, every person listening online now, by the power, Father, and Your authority, I just pray today that the Jacobs will come out, that the real them would come out, that You would bring about the real change that they're seeking and that they're desperate for. Father, we want the pearls, we want the blessings, but we know that our character hinders. So I pray, Father, that You would help us to remove our piggish ways, our unholiness, our just sin in our lives, God, that just hinders the amazing life You want to give us. And I pray that You change the character that does not fit the blessings that You have for us. Make us great men and women of God, great children of God, Father, and forgive us, because we know time is running out. We know, Father, that it is only by Your grace that we have overcome and are still alive to receive Your blessing. So I thank You for Your love. I thank You for helping us overcome the past and our mistakes and our regrets. And Jesus, I just ask right now by Your name and by Your power through the Holy Spirit that character begin to change and prepare us for the pearls that You have. And I pray today that someone would finally surrender their life to You, Jesus. If you're here this morning and you're saying, Lord, I want to give You my life once and for all and surrender to You. You cannot do it by yourself. Jesus loves you. He died on the cross for your sins. And the Bible says if you acknowledge that Jesus is Lord and you confess your sins, He will forgive you. Acknowledge, that's Jacob coming out. Acknowledge and agree with God that you're a sinner and that you need Him. And when you confess that, He comes quickly to rescue you and to pick you up like He did Jacob and change the character. God wants to change you, and you can change by the power of Jesus Christ. It is a gift from God here today for you. Do you want it? If this is you today, you put your hand up and say, Pastor, I want this free gift of salvation. God bless you. I see your hand there. I see your hands there and your hands that are all across the room today. And if you're listening online right now, I want you to pray this with me as well. As we all stand to our feet today, let's all stand to our feet. And if you're here this morning with every head bowed, every eye still closed, no one's looking around, you're saying, God, my character is destroying the pearls that You've given me. My character is destroying the pearls that You've given me. My character is destroying my children that are a pearl. My character is destroying my marriage that's a pearl. My character is destroying my job that's a pearl. I'm destroying my life by my actions, by my character, and I need Your help. If you have fallen away from God, if you have lied and if you've manipulated and you've been so far because you wanted to be blessed, you wanted to change, but you went about it the wrong way, God hears you today and He's waiting for you. And I want to pray for you as well. If this is you, you put that hand up and say, God, I'm coming back. I need a character change. I've been a little piggish lately. God bless you all across the room today. Let me pray for you here. For my first group of people, pray this with me from your heart. Just say, Lord Jesus, today I confess that I'm a sinner. I confess that You're Lord. And Jesus, today I've just asked You to forgive me of my sins as I place my faith and my soul and my trust in You. Take me as I am and make me to what you want me to be. Because to you, I surrender. In Jesus' name, give those a round of applause. If you prayed this online, I want you to contact us online. And for all you here today who's saying, Pastor, I walk by faith. I'm a born-again believer. But lately, the old pig is coming out. And I've been trampling on the blessings. I've been trampling on the pearls. I want to pray for your character today. Holy Spirit, I ask that your power would be known to all those whose ways have been piggish, who have trampled on the blessings that you've given, who have not treated the pearls like pearls, but have trampled on them in their filth and selfishness. Father, forgive us for our sins. And I pray, Jesus, in your name, that character will begin to change, that the blessings will fit the character, and that we not destroy it. Put us under pressure. Give us pain. Remove those people that aren't beneficial to us. Do your work to bring about the blessings that you have. And we thank you, Lord, that we have overcome by your grace and your love, and that you see us not as we were, not as we are right now, but you see us as Israel. You see us as who we will become. So, Father, we just pray and we trust you for all those here that need to change. Let them lean on you now in submission, in Jesus' name. And Father, as we dismiss today and we go out into our busy work week, back home to our families, we thank you for this weekend service. Let character follow us, godly character. Let it be displayed everywhere as we leave our pig ways behind. Leave your pig at the altar. I'll take care of it. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, God bless you. Have a great week. I will see you all Wednesday for Bible study.